Episode 264, October 3rd, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
The racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
A Robbie-less show. This happens every few months, and I feel relaxed, Joe.
Oh, we told a story recently about a buddy of mine who, the people that ran, he ran a show collectively with other people, the great Todd Leatherberry, and the people talked about how great the show was when Todd was missing, just to make a point to him. Meanwhile, they never even had the show. So I will say that Robbie, he does stress me out. He does make me crazy. But I do. I would guess we'd have a difficult time having this show have gone on so long without him. So I'll give him some love.
An integral part of the show, not just from a nuts and bolts, but of adding flavor.
But he does stress me out.
He does stress. This is, he does our flyers for the murder mystery. And I mean, we give him money after shows and stuff, so it's not like it's free. But it's always me sending him the information, and I'm always a little scared because, you know, I want it done as soon as possible. But there's usually not some real deadline, and he's really good about getting them done. But I always feel like, oh, is he going to be pissed that I'm sending him another flyer? So we have this new gig coming up December 10th in Colonial Beach, Virginia. It's our Christmas one. And he did the flyer, and it looked fantastic. And then Irwin, our contact there, emails me back and says, hey, can you put on the flyer that they want the doors to open at 7?
Oh, God. He just says, and you're terrified as soon as you hear that.
I'm like, okay, great.
I can imagine the shiver just through your body.
It gets worse, Joe. So I said, okay. I send him that. He gets it back to me, Robbie. And he goes, I can do it Saturday. I said, okay. So I sent it to him, and then today, Irwin sends me back. He says, hey, can you have it say this is – he's relaying the message. So he thinks this is ridiculous, but he's just relaying the message. It says doors 7 p.m. Can you have it say doors open 7 p.m.? I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Because Irwin doesn't know. He doesn't know what you have to go do.
No. And he knows it's ridiculous because everyone knows 8 p.m. door 7. What does that mean, people? What
and
do you
course,
think it means?
Just like you know when you go to Robbie, he's even though putting open is probably not that difficult for him, he doesn't like that it doesn't make any sense, which it doesn't, but he also won't understand the fact that, you know, it's four people removed from us. You know, we don't have any leverage to try to start arguing with people.
But in his defense, he didn't. I acknowledge that it was unnecessary, but that's what they wanted.
Preemptive
he didn't
strike.
Say anything. He just sent it back done. And that was in between. I'm starting this local comedy show at the Ram's Head in Annapolis. And they had mentioned that they have an email blast on Mondays, and that if we could get the flyer and stuff. The show's not until November 23rd, so it's not that big a deal. But I was like, okay, if I can get you the flyer, but I'm relying on Robbie. And he knocked it out. He gave it to me today, and it's beautiful. And so I was terrified to ask him all those things. By the way, I paid him on the side for that. So I do acknowledge, Robbie, you are working. I want you to get paid for this. But he knocked it out, and it looks beautiful. So I was scared to death the entire time.
Can I say something about that flyer, though, real quick?
Yeah. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did see it. I noticed in the blurb when you gave your credits, no mention of the Rob and Joe Show. No mention of Die Laughing Productions. No mention. And by the way, that club, we've done the murder mystery, and I don't see it here. I mean, look, let me just make double check. Nope.
You know, the blurb that I gave them to add to the website for my bio, I could see mentioning it there, but I don't think it on the flyer. So now you're telling me to go ask Robbie to add a Die Laughing Productions thing, and that's another terror.
No, I'm talking about when the blurb that they're going to use on the website.
How do you know what that is?
Because Robbie sent it to me.
Oh, my God. What? Why? Because of that very fact?
Of course he sent that. You're slighting me, and the more I see it, it kind of... You know, I got thick skin, Rob. I do.
First of all, I took out a couple other credits of mine because I didn't want to have more than the headliner, Jason Weems, and I didn't want to keep adding to his. I want it to be tight, you know, two or three sentences per person. So if I add all that, I took out a bunch of stuff from me, and I had mentioned the podcast. I actually wrote that out, and then I deleted it, and I said, you know what, it's too much. I didn't like how it read.
Hey, how come I'm not on this show?
I'm assuming you're going to be doing the Justin show at the Comedy Factory like you always do.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I asked Justin first, but he had this. So, I mean, we'll do it again. You want to be on the next one with Justin?
No, I don't.
Okay. Robbie's going to be singing.
Oh, then I will.
So, did Robbie send this to you? He's actually mad, or is he trying
No. He's a needler. You know that.
Well, November 23rd, if you're in town. So we're doing this. Robbie's busy. That's why he's not here. There's nothing, no drama there. But another classic Gramps Tawanda Facebook mention. You know what? It's basically the same joke, him just hitting on her. But, God, it always makes me laugh. So Tawanda and her girlfriend went to the Ren Fair Festival, the place where you first met her, actually, before I did.
Correct. I got her on camera.
Yeah, and they dressed up in their sexy outfit. And I posted a picture. I said, my girl and her BFF hanging at the Maryland Renaissance Festival. Tawanda's on the left. Her girlfriend is on the right. And Gramp says, is the one on the right your girl? Because the one on the left is mine.
The thing is, Gramps is never going to hear us talking about him because since we're not live tonight, he's not going to know how to get to the show.
Oh, you're
Robbie's
right.
Robbie's going to have to drive from Culpeper, wherever the hell he lives, over to where my parents live, and an hour away just to play this thing. I actually have another Gramps story if you'd like to hear it.
Of course.
Okay. He emailed this to me today. It's only 3 hours old. About a year ago, I went to a customer's house, and her sister answered the door to tell me she wasn't home. I asked if she was interested in life insurance, and she said she was, so I began to make an appointment and take her address and phone number. She was wearing a loose shirt that looked like a man's undershirt, and as we talked, the shirt moved to the side until her breast was completely exposed. She looked down, and laughing, she said, I'm sorry, I'm showing you my titty. She pulled the shirt back to cover it. I said, the only thing you have to be, I'm sorry, I just stepped on the line. I said, the only thing you have to apologize for is that you put it away. She said, oh, you want to see it? And pulled her shirt back to expose her breast again. I said, thanks, you've made my day, and left.
Once again, where was this at?
This is in Baltimore when my father is selling insurance. Apparently a lot of, you know what, I bet you that apparently Gramps has seen more black women's boobs and vaginas than you have.
I'm not saying something.
Yeah, it is.
He probably has. when I delivered pizza for 3 years, you know, when I was in my early 20s, and I never saw any nudity.
No, you never had that. Nobody just called you in and said, hey, do you mind staying for a while? They want their pizza.
No, I had drunk guys call me in and say, you want a beer? But that's as close as it got. I had a cop pull a gun on me. I've told that story before, but
I've never had that. These women show them their private parts on, but this is in the inner city, right? So there probably is some, you know, there's probably some prostitutes that are living in these houses, don't you think?
Well, if you're that quick to show your goods, then it's more very likely, yeah. Maybe we're just hanging out in the wrong spots.
That's what I think. I mean, here's the deal. Like, I love my dad, but, you know, he doesn't look like Brad Pitt. We've had this discussion already. No, for some reason, every time he walks into a house, somebody's showing him their tits. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I was thinking with your dad being the character that he is, always hitting on women, and women apparently hitting on him. he seems like a classic, like a sitcom TV dad. And then you and I have the classic sitcom TV husband boyfriend situation where our women are much hotter than us.
Yes, and in my case much younger.
Yes. So I feel like we're a sitcom. I'm not saying it's a good sitcom, but you could cast our show with the two of us, our girlfriends, Gramps and Robbie as the principal.
Of course. Yeah, see, here's the thing, Marcus, I don't think you're a character. I think you're too reasonable.
It depends. Yeah. I can act. I've acted and performed before.
But no, we're not talking about
you're not playing, you're not playing yourself.
We're talking about the character based on you. Like, you seem to be a pretty rational person that doesn't necessarily lend itself to a sitcom.
Well,
yeah, Marcus.
I mean, thanks. You'd have to agree. I can completely agree that Robbie is going to be a better sitcom character than me. Would of you agree course. With that?
Yes. Who do you? Let's cast the sitcom. What about Patton Oswalt as Robbie?
Okay, that's a good one. But you, I would think an angrier guy. Is there another actor who's angrier?
I'm also sure there is.
A little neurotic, too.
Richard Lewis.
Yeah, Richard Lewis would work, but he's more of like a, what do you call it? Where he's
Jewish.
He always woe is me. He thinks these horrible things are happening to him. He's afflicted right. in some way.
Yeah.
But Robbie is aggressive.
Hmm.
I mean, you could have an Alec Baldwin could pull it off, but he's too good looking. You need a guy who.
What about Brad Garrett?
Brad Garrett would be good. Again, he's too likable. You need somebody much more abrasive.
Donald Trump as Rob Robinson.
That might work. Wrong. Is there some actor that you notice whenever you're asked to do something, it's immediately met with, you know, adversarially.
Right. Mean,
you know, is there any characters?
What about Baba Booey from the Howard Stern Show? Isn't that his guy?
Yeah, but what I don't know. But Baba Booey is more the victim in that. If you listen to Howard Stern Show, you know, most things happen at his expense.
Huh. I mean, this is an important role. We can't botch the casting on this.
No.
Can he be Jason, what's his name? Jason Alexander?
Alexander?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but Jason Alexander actually played almost that type of character. So, yeah, I mean, or Larry David. They're both could be Robbie.
Well, who's... Well, Larry David's too old, I think. Let's just go... Let's say Jason Alexander. Well,
okay.
If you have better answers, feel free to tweet at us at Robin Joe Show and Facebook us. Who's going to play Gramps? Another key character here.
How about Ed Asner? He played Santa in Elf. He was old and crotchety.
Done.
But
Ed
he was
Asner.
Also, but since he played Santa, he was also, you know, endearing.
No, I think it's perfect. Yeah.
Thank you.
You and I.
I'm thinking myself, maybe a DiCaprio, a Pitt, a Norton.
I was thinking Matthew Modine.
Oh, Modine, that's it. Yeah, no, I'll take Modine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
He's in one of my favorite half movies, Full Metal Jacket.
Okay. Who do I get?
How about Paul Giamatti?
No, I want Greg Kinnear.
Oh, come on. Yeah, no, all right. If you give me Modine, I'll give you Kinnear.
All right. And then Tawanda, insert any black, sexy black.
Yes, ass. Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah, Gabrielle Union.
Yeah, Gabrielle Union's better because she was in the Bring It On movies, which are more comedic, right? All right, I'll give you that.
All right, and who's Katie going to be?
Katie's going to be, you got to have a brunette. What about Monica Baccarin?
Marina Baccarin?
That's her, too. Yeah, her, too.
I think she's too old.
It's okay. I'd like for her to play opposite.
That's the wife in Deadpool and in Homeland. If you don't know, she's gorgeous. But I thought we want someone younger.
All right. How about, I got it. The girl from Modern Family with the big boobs now. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, The one that J.O. Van loves? Yes.
Right. She just turned, 18 or whatever. What's her name?
Winter something?
That's okay. Well, that's who I'd like to play that role.
Okay.
Opposite Matthew Modine.
All right. Hold on. What's the show called? Modern Family. What the hell is her name?
If you put Modern Family, big boob girl, the Sofia Vergara will probably come up.
All right. Ariel Winter.
There you go.
Yeah. JL talks about her all the time on his podcast. The Righteous Prick. Check it out. So there we go. That's the cast. I guess occasionally we'd have some pop-ins, Marcus, Tim. But I think it's a good show. What are we gonna call it?
The Joe and Rob Show.
we'll get a better title than that. Let's take a break. We'll come back. I don't know why we're coming back. We have a sitcom now. Why do we even care? Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for your life, sing for your life, sing, sing, sing for your life.
There's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, October 22nd at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
All right, Joe, it's, we've talked about this before, but it's getting out of hand. The text messages that you and your little circle jerk of friends constantly have me on, this text string that'll never die. It starts off usually baseball related with Tim saying something bad about the Orioles, and then you guys debating him. And then it just turns into just every little thing that you're just live tweeting, live texting your day. And
I don't ever remember us live texting our day.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to Maryland. Well, I'm going to go there. Well, I think it's going to be this. Well, I think it's going to be busy. I'm going to go there today.
I don't know about that. Most of the time I ever look at this, and I just saw that there's been 50 texts while we were on here. But all I do is shit on Tim. I mean, there's nothing else I'm really involved in this thing. Unless there's like a card game, and then I'll say I'm out or I'm in. But other than that, I mean, what happens is Tim finds whatever little weakness there is, right?
Yes.
So I use the Baltimore Orioles as an example. Tim subscribes to ESPN the magazine, show announcer Tim, former show announcer Tim. He subscribes to ESPN the magazine, and ESPN the magazine said that the Orioles would finish in last place in one of the worst. He also said that we play in one of the worst divisions in baseball. Well, the Orioles end up winning their first 7 games of the year.
They
never look back. They won 89 games. It's a great season by any stretch, especially a team that wasn't picked to finish that great. But the entire time, Tim is calling for their collapse. In April, he's like, well, they're gonna collapse in May. In May, they're gonna collapse in June. They're gonna collapse in July. They're gonna collapse in August. They're not gonna win a playoff game. Then when it started looking dicey, they're not gonna make the playoffs. They're not gonna win the pennant. Like, he kept adapting his argument in order to be right. Now, at the end of the day, a team that's that finishes, by the way, three teams from the American League East made the playoffs. They're probably, actually, they're not probably, statistically, they're the best team in all of baseball. I mean, sorry, the best division in all of baseball.
Yes.
And the Orioles having to play teams like the Red Sox, the Blue Jays.
Okay, Joe, I'm stopping you, okay, because this is my point. No one in the world is disagreeing with this except for Tim.
That's
it's
all
like
that matters to me.
You've had 1,000 texts. It's like somebody saying Hawaii's not beautiful. You know how you respond? You send one picture, and then you're done. You're constantly, well, you got this. You got the sunset, and you got a Waikiki. And it's, what are you doing?
But it's not just me. Everybody's on there defending it. I'm not the only person.
But there's nothing to defend. There's a record. They keep score. Look, you're right.
Listen, it's the problem with show announcer Tim is not that he's wrong. It's that he continues to, and if he finds, he goes somewhere else. Now my fantasy football team isn't doing well, so now it's become that. Now, meanwhile, I've played in the championship 3 out of the last 4 years. That's never brought up. It's only that currently my team is 0-3. You see what I'm saying? So once the Orioles make the playoffs, well, then he has to shift his focus. And I can tell you this. If the Orioles lose to the Blue Jays tomorrow, that will then become the focus. You see, wherever my weakness is it's tough. If somebody keeps calling your mother a whore, it's tough for you just to sit there. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, but why do I have to be involved? See, let me tell you something.
You don't.
Apparently I do. This is something about me. If I see, like, you on Facebook and you got the circle, the globe, and it has, you know, how many notifications you have, or anything on the left, like on the left side, I've got TMOS Fan Club, Coco Lane Comedy Club, Die Laughing Productions. If there's any number beside that, I have to click on it and get rid of it. I have to, if I have an email, I don't have to necessarily read it, but I have to at least click on it and disappear that notification. So every time I get a text message, I had it on my phone where it comes up on the top. Now, I've since changed that. I've muted all that, so I don't even see any text until I go to the text. Which means now I'm missing text. Because if I see something, I have to deal with it. Now, usually it's just deleting at this point. But the other night, I go to bed at 2 a.m. I wake up at 8:30. There's 35 text messages. It's like, what are you guys doing? You're just waking up at 6 a.m. and just immediately texting back and forth?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that I'm not on that string. But I mean, actually... Yeah, I have to wake up and go to work. I probably did respond to a couple of them. But again, I don't see why it's that invasive. You can just not read them. You understand? Like, I think it's kind of funny when I look up and I look back down and there's a little red 20 beside my text. That always makes me laugh because I know it's that text string. But we're not going to take you off. We're not. You're a friend. You're going to stay on it. You're not going to come off. We've had this discussion before. So anyway, but yes. I'm sorry I went on long about the Orioles, but Tim does make me nuts, so that's the reason I have to respond.
Well, this is what makes me nuts, and I'm sympathetic to you, and you're not sympathetic to me.
Well, maybe you're right, I'm not, because I don't want to exclude you. But the other
thing
is,
I'm not even reading them, so you're not excluding me. I mean, I'm already excluded.
You're not sympathetic to me. If you right now, you could change to where Tim doesn't attack me in text, or he keeps attacking me, you would choose attacking. Because it's funnier, right? So, you know, you don't really sympathize. It's better the way
I sympathize to idiotic sports opinions by people. Because I get that all the time. But I also know that I'm much happier when I don't get involved in one. When I don't get involved in some stupid debate on Facebook. Even if I know I'm right, even if I'm able to articulate that point in a great way that makes me look right and I win the argument, I still leave it feeling like that was a waste of time.
Yeah, no, you're right, because I'll read something and I'll go, Joe, don't say anything. And then, of course, I find myself eventually saying something. And then, of course, I'm arguing with the other 50 sympathizers to the person who put the original post on there. So, yeah, I do understand that. But this is a lot less, first of all, it's a lot less public. And the other thing is that you can literally just be like, all right, I don't have time to read all these things. And you can just click on it and not read them.
Well, have I missed anything good in the 1,000 text messages that have gone on since last
week?
Yes.
Most of them are for Tim at my expense. But Ben Roethlisberger threw 5 touchdowns last night, and I'm actually leading and favored to win now in my fantasy football game. So you haven't heard anything from Tim. But I'm going to lay low because I'm only 1-3. I don't want to poke the bear.
Yeah. Well, speaking of
online games and stuff. Do we have an update on your what's it called, Game of War, whatever?
So we had mentioned this before that I was forced to call a gentleman named Larry, who's the king of my alliance in the game that I play, on my phone. And then I was forced to call him for fear that, you know, if I didn't, then, you know, I wouldn't be in this alliance, which is important in this game. Well, Larry is turning into a tyrant. I actually sent you some, there's a little dialogue that goes on between the people in the alliance. And let me just read you. I sent this to you, but this is Larry. Somebody in the alliance said, "Hey, why are we doing something or another?" And he says, "Don't ever tell me what I should do again. Message me in private. Does anyone else want to question what I do? Step forward." So literally, did you see that? I sent it to you.
Yeah,
he's literally exploiting his power exactly as I was afraid that he would. So, of course, I said, "No, Larry, I side with you all the way. I'm not going to, I don't want to make him mad." It's like Henry VIII. You know, you can't, you don't want to lose, you could be beheaded.
It's King Joffrey. Yeah, I see this here. I didn't yell at you. I didn't yell. You know, you guys said, "Don't yell at me." I didn't yell. It feels like a Robbie and Joe argument.
No, it's very, very similar to Robbie and Joe, but yeah, and this guy is even less reasonable than Robbie.
Can King Larry play Robbie in the sitcom?
King Larry would be amazing. I think when I think about King Larry, and again, we tried to call him last week. I'd like to try to call him. If it's not today, I would definitely like to call him again. But the thing about it is, I bet you that in real life, he has just been trampled upon. And this is his way of just exacting justice in what's happened to him. And what he's done is he spent thousands of dollars to be this very, very strong person in this, you know, pretend world. And if you want to be in this pretend world, he could just die. If he wanted to, he could just destroy you. And so you have to submit to his will, King Larry. We probably need to call King Larry. You want to try to call him again, Marcus?
I don't. We can't do that, can we? Can we do that?
Yeah, we can do that if you want to text me his number.
No, I'll just say it and you can just bleep it out since we're just recording this.
Okay, go ahead.
He's from Chicago too, Marcus.
I know. That's why I look forward to talking to him, but for whatever reason,
Don't get me kicked out of the alliance, okay? Seriously.
Yes, dear.
Hey, Marcus, I interviewed a guy today that plays Magic the Gathering. Do you play that?
I do play that. I used to play in the Pro League.
All right, call Larry.
All right, we're calling Larry.
Is it ringing?
Yes.
I can't hear it.
It's not ringing audibly.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hi, is this Larry?
Yes.
Larry, this is Joe Robinson. I play the Game of War game with you. You're actually on the air right now. Can you talk to us for a couple minutes?
I'm on the air.
Yeah, you're on the air. I've been talking about this game that I've been playing, and I've also been talking about you specifically. And I was saying that the other day when you asked me to call you, do you mind? I was saying what you said in the chat that you had spent $1,350 in this game. Is that correct?
Yeah, don't tell everybody that.
Well, they don't know who you are, Larry. I'm just saying that's a... That's a commitment.
Hey, Larry, this is Rob. This is the Rob and Joe show. You should check out the podcast. I, as Joe's partner and dear friend, he's very terrified of you kicking him out of the alliance.
No, Larry's not going to kick me out of the alliance. No,
well,
I'm not terrified.
See how scared you are. Could that possibly happen, Larry?
No,
let Larry
good,
answer.
I'm a good teammate. That would never happen.
Let's let Larry decide that.
Why would I'm not going to kick anybody out.
Joe's been kicked out of things his whole life. He has
That's
some issues
true.
With that. He's been fired a lot. So he's been fired from jobs, a marriage. He has some self-esteem issues with that, Larry.
And actually, Larry, you have kicked people out of the alliance. And that's why it terrified me the other day.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, there was a chick that was on there. And she just said, "Hey, we need to quit letting other people in our alliance." And you go, "Don't ever question my authority again." And you booted her out. So that made me think, oh, man,
she's
we better.
Back.
Oh, she is. All right. How do you guys
she's
reconcile?
Back.
You tell her never question my authority again, or I'll banish you to another kingdom.
It's a game of war.
I feel like if this was The Walking Dead, I think you might be the governor, Larry. You'd be running things in your own way.
Oh no, Larry dominates the alliance. Yeah, nobody's as powerful as Larry. Of course, nobody else has $1,350.
Oh, no. I have a very small alliance. I am, you can ask your buddy, compare it to the other alliances. We are very small.
My buddy, who, Rob?
Larry, yeah. Now you spent, you know, a decent amount of money on this. You worked hard your whole life. You deserve to do this. But does your wife have any idea how much you spent, or do you kind of fudge the numbers a little bit?
Oh, yeah, I sleep in the garage.
Does she ever try to get to the mailbox before you to take a look at the credit card statement?
I keep being told that this is a free game. What are you spending money for?
That's a tough line. Now, how much of
your day do you spend playing this game?
Well, it depends. Sometimes I could sit here all day because...
I feel like I'm not committed. That's the thing. I hear you what you do, Larry. You're probably putting, you know, good 18 hours a day into this game, and you're putting your hard-earned cash in there. And I just feel like I'm letting the alliance down because I'm only playing six or 7 hours a day.
All right. Well, first of all, I'm merging a couple alliances.
Okay.
We're doing a couple things differently.
Mm-hmm.
I have cities that there's only 100 in the empire, and I have to be a ruler of two of them, which is unheard of. And
powerful, Rob.
Unprecedented.
We have two alliances. I have almost 100 people that in some alliances, the ruler, leader, king, whatever you want to call them, is out for himself and everybody else are just there to help him succeed. I want everybody in my alliance because somebody helped me when I was coming up.
Are they in our alliance, the person that helped you?
Yeah, no longer, no.
You're like Jon Snow on Game of Thrones, right?
You are. You are a lot like Jon Snow.
I left the alliance. He is still my good friend. He comes and visits, brings his castle over by mine. It's real nice. but I'll tell you.
Go ahead, Larry.
I'll tell you something because I'm on the air here, and sure. This one will go over real big. It'll be all over. This will make the newspapers for you.
Okay. Probably.
Talk about the money I spent.
Uh-huh.
My wife wanted the garage cleaned out. So as I'm cleaning the garage out, I'm thinking to myself, do I take this stuff to the curb? I loaded it in the car and took it to a pawn shop. So then the money I could use to buy the packs I need to keep going in the game.
What did you pawn exactly?
Yeah, give us some items.
All the garbage that I was going to throw out of the garage.
Give me an example of something that you pawned.
Well, like a lawn sweeper. You know, one of them Scott's lawn sweepers.
Right.
I pawned that thing.
Did you pawn anything that has any sentimental value to your wife?
Yes, anything that if your wife knew you pawned it, there might be a problem.
Well, she hasn't seen a couple of the kids for a few days. I got good money for them, so.
Larry, folks.
Larry, he's the best. Now, Larry, let me ask you this. Are you worried that your wife is now going to take an expensive hobby and use this as leverage for her opportunity to spend this money doing something else and bankrupt you?
She can do whatever she wants. I've never questioned what she spends. She never spends on herself. That's not an issue.
All right. Now, Larry.
You know, and you have to look at a couple things, too. You go out golfing, it costs you a couple $100, right?
Right.
Sure.
You go to a ball game, costs you $100.
Mm-hmm.
So right? this is your hobby. This is all you do.
Oh no, I got hobbies. I ride motorcycles. I mean, I bowl. I do all kinds of stuff, and I spend a lot of money on all that kind of stuff. I got 27 bowling balls that cost $200 a piece. I mean, come on.
You bought a couple of those and get yourself some more packs.
Oh no. But I mean,
have you ever bowled a 300 game, Larry?
$299.
What's that?
My high.
$299 is this high.
Oh, man. How many times have you bowled $299?
Once.
And then on the very last frame, 9. That's what happened to you.
That's what happened.
How many people were gathered around to watch you do that?
Oh, a lot. They filmed it. They put it on YouTube and all that. So.
Oh, what's your high game, Rob?
Hey,
Rob,
hold on. How can we find that on YouTube, Larry?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you know, can you tell us how to find it on YouTube? What do I have to search for?
No, that was years back. I don't even know anymore.
Internet, it's still there.
Yeah. It still exists.
If I just type in King Larry Bowls 299.
Yeah, was it King Larry Bowls at 299? See if that comes up.
Come on, guys. That's
Google, there you are, right there.
Google Lawn Sweeper. See if you can find him.
All right, wait a second now. So Bob, right?
Rob, yes.
Rob. All right, what name do you go under in this game? Because everybody has different names.
No, Joe's the one in the game.
Yeah, I'm UM Class of 90.
Oh, UM Class of 90.
That's right. Remember the reason
I
had
you got you right here, big guy.
Yeah, you told me to call you one time, and that's how I have your number. And I've been telling him on here about the game, and I tell him about that you're a fair ruler, Larry. That's what I've been telling him.
Tell him to check his account. He slammed.
Is UM Class of 90 pulling his weight, Larry?
Yeah, am I pulling my weight, Larry?
No, he's gone.
you just kicked him out of the Alliance?
You just kicked me out of the Alliance?
No, are you kidding me? I didn't do that.
Oh, cool. Thanks, man. I was going to make my way back in.
Do you know, Larry, that Joe, UM Class of 90, has yet to spend a single dollar on the game?
Well, you know what? That's good, though. That's good.
Damn it. Trying to get
and actually, you can play the game for free. It just takes you longer, a lot longer, to get where you want to be.
Kind of holds back the Alliance a little bit. Brings them down, maybe?
Oh, no. You know, it's not always about how much you spend, what kind of power you have. I wanted certain things for myself. I wanted certain type of fighting gear. I wanted certain types of things that I needed for me. You can survive in this game, and you don't have to spend a dime, and you can be in an alliance, and you can have as much fun, and you can play, and you can be protected, because there's always people that want to go out and fight. There's always people that want to go out and do different things.
Thanks, Larry.
Are you a fighter, Joe?
Is that sigh relief. No. Yeah. I'm a gatherer. Are you kidding me? Okay. I'm not fighting. If I fight, I'll get killed. I'm too weak. But I got Larry.
Is your wife have more of an issue?
I'm not that big.
Does your wife have more of an issue with you playing this game all the time, or the fact that you own 200 bowling balls?
Yeah, that's a good. It's 22, by the way, Rob. Don't be ridiculous.
No, I think it's the motorcycles.
How many motorcycles do you have?
Oh, just one now.
What kind? What kind of motorcycle do you have, Larry?
Oh, it's a Harley Heritage soft sale.
Joe, he is so much cooler than you. He's bowling 299 games. He's got a motorcycle.
Of course he is.
He's the king of
our alliance.
Several villages. What are you doing in your life?
I know. Larry's Larry's a lot older than me. I think, Larry, you told me you've been married for several years, right?
Yeah.
He's got a successful marriage. Yeah. You couldn't do that.
No, I couldn't pull that off either. He bests me in every way. Well, he's the king. If I were the king and then you were explaining the differences between Larry and I, then it would make sense. Wouldn't make sense, but it does. He's achieved a lot more, and therefore his status is much higher.
What did you do?
22 bowling balls, yeah. Rob.
As a younger man, Larry, what did you do for a living?
Same thing I still do now.
Oh, you're still working. What do you do?
I work for Jewel Foods.
Okay, that's a food distribution place or something, or
It's a food chain.
Okay.
I've been with him 49 years, so.
See, the guy's he's managing running food chains. He's
I've
just
done
you're,
nothing
you're used
for
to running
years.
Things.
I'm achieved nothing.
I was a manager for well over 20 some years, and now I stepped down last couple of years, and I enjoy myself. I don't have to have all the pressure, but I still like being in charge. So this game helps me because I still have people now that I control, and I can
like
mentor
me.
And help, and yes. And you know, so it's nice for me.
So Larry, you're a big Chicago Bears fan, correct?
Well, yeah, kind of.
Okay, no, that's okay. We have another person that we is often discussed on the show. His name is Chris Restivo. Have you ever heard of him?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, he's a huge Minnesota Vikings fan. I'm wondering, when they play each other, is it possible that we could get you two on for maybe a little friendly debate? Could we do that?
Yeah, this is a bad year for that because, you know, Minnesota's favorite and the Bears aren't. So
I know, but Larry,
you're a much better debater than he is, trust me.
Oh, yeah. You're going to destroy him.
You know what I think, Larry? I think the Bears are a proud franchise. They're clearly struggling these last few years. They won yesterday, but it doesn't look like it's going to be a good season. They need some new leadership, and you're a guy. You're a Chicago guy. You're a natural-born leader. You've been leading your whole life. Why don't you?
Be it food, be it a king, right.
People follow you. You should throw your hat in the ring and say you want to run the Chicago Bears.
No.
Okay.
That's okay. No, I don't want to do that.
I tried, Larry.
No.
Larry, thanks for taking our call, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and just remember, class of 90. If he's not pulling his weight, just don't be afraid
to
yell at him.
I'll pull my weight, Larry. I promise.
Don't worry about nothing. Why did you even tell him that I was going to kick you? I'm not going to do that.
They were talking on the message boards.
But Larry, thanks, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
All right, you guys have a great one.
You too, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was fun.
Is that as I described him? Did I do a good job?
Yeah. I thought he answered. That was entertaining.
Could you hear the Chicago in his voice?
I couldn't. I guess he sounded a little bit like the Norm. What's his name? When George Went did the Bears the skit Bears. On Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Now, how mad at me would you have been, Joe, if he took a lot of issue with the fact that you spent zero money on the game?
I wouldn't have been mad. I wouldn't have. I'd be like, thank God I don't have to play this game anymore. And I would have deleted it.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. See if we can follow King Larry. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back. What's up, everybody? We need your help. We need your support.
We haven't begged for support in a while.
And we're not too proud to beg. We're really good at begging. All we really want you to do is just, if you listen on iTunes, give us 5 stars, write us a review. Same deal with Stitcher. Same deal, Podbean, podcast app. Just share the show. Download it. Tell people about it. Word of mouth. That's all we're asking.
No, it's not all we're asking. Also, come to all the shows that we have, the murder mysteries, the stand-up. Donate money on our website.
Yes.
If you have to see me on the street, be cordial. Offer to buy me a drink.
So all we're asking is to go on every single platform that the show's available on. Give us 5 stars. Write us a review. Tell every friend you know to listen to the show. Give us lots of money at robmerritt@gmail.com on PayPal. Come to every single murder mystery show. Come to every single comedy show. See the pie plate closer. Give a standing ovation. And then tell your friends to do exactly the same thing.
That's all we need.
That's it.
The Rob and Joe Show.
So, a couple big things happening this week. Thursday night, I am emceeing a gala, a builder's gala. And this is an event that Jim Vance, for years, would emcee this. It's the kind of thing that I feel like Tony Perkins should be doing.
Yeah.
Last year, the guy, former winner of Top Chef, Voltaggio, not sure why he would be emceeing, but he did, yes. And now they got me.
Well, I feel like those guys aren't going to be better at being an MC than you. I mean, they're probably
more recognizable,
but they're not, you know, I mean, this is kind of what you do.
No, that's the thing. I am going to be better. I wouldn't be better at hosting the nightly news or cooking than those guys. But I'm looking forward to it. I don't know that you're going to be better than Jim Vance.
I don't know that you're going to be better than Vance. I'm just assuming. But Vance did it for so many years; he's probably pretty good.
Although Vance, I'm talking about the making fun of the Vance is probably not working rooms where they're drinking and being rowdy. I mean, he's above that. I'm not. That's more my element. So as much as this is a gala, they like to have a good time, from what I understand. I mean, obviously, Vance is going to have the presence because he's Jim Vance and he's a very funny guy. But this is more my realm.
What are the chances that you think you'll bomb?
That I'll bomb?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's
not
possible.
Zero. It's not zero.
No. There's a better chance I bomb at this than at a comedy show.
Oh, yeah. No, 100% is a better chance. Yeah.
I'm going to be doing stand-up.
Well, do you know what jokes you're doing? You're going clean?
Yeah, I'm going clean. I have some stuff just talking about Tawan and I getting this house that I think is going to play well in that room. Not necessarily, I don't know how well it would play in a real show, but I tested it out the other night. It's this gig in Germantown, Maryland, in front of what I deemed a similar kind of audience. And it went over well. So I think that's going to be good. It's only like 5 minutes, but there's a co-host, this a DJ on the radio. I forget her name. Lisa something. Herndon.
Lisa Pinelli. Are you like, is it like the Oscars where, you know, somebody comes out and presents and then somebody else comes out and presents? You know, are you guys going to like, are you going to be up there together, or is she going to go do one thing and then you're going to do another?
It's no, we're the ones presenting. There is 34 pages to this script. There's,
oh my God,
we're going to be alternating reading out the winners of these awards, and then they're going to walk up and I'm going to hand them a little statue thing.
Do you already know who's won the awards?
Yeah, they give me the list. I mean, I don't.
Can you spoil any of the awards right now?
I mean, these names mean nothing to me. I don't even understand.
Give me a category if you could. Just how about that?
Okay. I will give you a category. Hold on. Let me pull this up. Edit this out, Marcus.
Oh. Mark's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, he really does.
25-minute interview with King Larry. That's going to go unedited.
All right, I got to go back in my email and re-find it. But just
talk. Is it entertainment-based? Is it? Are there, like, best restaurant? Is it... You know, does it have to do with civic, something to do with the community? You know, what, give me an idea of even what the categories entail.
Hold on. I'll read you.
Oh, I thought you couldn't find it.
Oh, I can find it. I just have to pull it up again. All right, here we go. Some awards. Best design in architecture, detached home on lots under 7,000 square feet, $300,000 to $400,000. Boring.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
I got to read about 50 of those. And the other girl is going to read 50. Now, throughout this, there will be some breaks where they're going to have people come up and speak about other things and talk about things. So there's a fine line between keeping it serious and then having some silly fun and going into the audience and being crazy. So, I mean, it's going to be work.
How about this? Is there anybody that's going to win an award that night that you will have heard of?
Well, I've heard of some of these companies, probably.
Oh, I see. So companies win some awards, like best fast food chain. Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
I
mean, like you know, like Ryan Homes or something. You know, there's home builder companies.
Right.
Yeah.
But you'll never hear of an individual person.
No.
And you'll know no one that comes up and accepts an award.
No, I have one experience in my life handing out awards when I didn't know what was happening. It was at that cheerleading contest in Seattle. And the person gave me the wrong award. So I announced the winners and they were wrong. And then I had little girls crying and parents yelling at me. So that's my only experience.
That was your Steve Harvey.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't my fault. I just read what was on the thing. And I have no understanding like this of what, if I say something wrong, if it's written wrong, I'm not going to know that it's wrong.
Joe, we now know why Tony Perkins won't do this.
Well, he was an ass, but I mean,
it's a shit ton of work. That's why.
It is a lot. No,
you'd do it for the price. I think Tony would do it. But remember, I had to do a lottery show that was this kind of heavy lifting, and it was miserable. Yeah. You'll earn your money.
I'm going to earn my money, and you know it's going to be fun. I got my new suit I bought. I'm going to try to look good, and then again, I'm in the hotel for the night. Tawan will come by. We'll make a thing out of it.
Oh, and you're going to wear that suit to former landlord Phil's wedding, which is this Saturday.
Yeah. And then, yeah, 2 days later, this Saturday, it's our first time at a wedding, isn't it, Joe?
I don't think we've ever been at a wedding together. But, yeah, I dominate at weddings, by the way. But this
I think I dominate, too. We might dominate.
Let's try. It's a small wedding. That's the other thing. You know, a small wedding's different. There's only 50 people. We are almost 10% of the entire, number of guests. Just
can you imagine
and our dates.
Can you imagine how angry Tawanda would be if you proposed to Katie right there?
Yeah, would you would get in so much trouble if that happened.
It's almost worth you doing it.
People don't usually do that, though. That's kind of a shitty thing to do, right?
That is the totally shitty thing to do. You can announce, like, you're pregnant or something. I think that would be okay.
I saw a video on Facebook where a guy was walking with his girlfriend. These four black guys came up and shake him down, right? It's terrifying, right? They start going, hey, give me, I can't remember what they said, but they're like, hey, give me your wallet. What's in your wallet? Give me your money, something like that, right? All of a sudden, a cop comes up and they go, hey, this guy said he had a gun to the, not the four black guys, the other guy. So the cop puts his hands behind his back, puts a ring in his hand. He then gets down on one knee and proposes to the girl that's there with him. What? And the four guys start singing like Boys to Men. I mean, I'm like, I would say go fuck yourself. I mean, can you imagine how terrified you'd be? What a fucking dumb idea.
Do you think I'm the kind of guy that would do a proposal like that? Not like that, but like a thing. There'd be some plan and there'd be a whole production.
I'm sorry, say that again. I'm sorry. Hey, I actually was reading a Phil, whose wedding we're going to, taking Tim to task for buying out of a bad. But anyway, go ahead. What were you saying?
Yeah, this is taking away from your life. Do you think I'm the kind of guy that would do some sort of proposal production like that?
I don't.
Because let's go over the kind of guys. You have the kind of guy that traditional. They go out to eat or somewhere symbolic to their relationship, has some meeting, and they just get on a knee and say, I love you. Here's the ring. Solid, strong. Mm-hmm. Then there's the guy. He's so nervous that he just does it. Oh, okay. Look, you want him to get married? Right. Then there's the step up of guy number one where they go out of town somewhere, or maybe they're going on some little mini vacation. They do it there. And then there's the guy number four, this guy, where there's people involved. They're trying to make a YouTube video out of it. There's definitely, he has to coordinate all these different things. It's a whole big, big deal. Which one of the guys am I?
I think you're the guy that just is at the restaurant and does it. You're not the guy that blurts it out.
Right.
And you're not the guy that, you know, writes it in the sand and has her walk down the thing and, you know, clowns are juggling. That's not you either.
Which kind of guy are you?
Well, here's the thing. I would probably think about what the other person is important to them. Right.
Yeah.
Now, my current girlfriend, she would like the elaborate because I see that cause she looks at Facebook. She's like, oh, my God, look at this. And she loves that kind of stuff. So if I just was like, hey, you know, we're at Applebee's, that wouldn't fly. She, you know, that's not what you expect. So I would do what would make her happy in that case, and that's put some effort into it.
Like if you did it, like at a murder mystery show?
That probably wouldn't work.
Hey, somebody guessed, well, their team name is Will You Marry Me, Katie? Oh, my God. And Eric's there half naked. Come on, that sounds like that. That sounds
all
nice.
Right. You know what? You're selling me on this a little bit.
So I was asking you about this wedding because I don't think they're registered, and I want a couple to be registered because then I know what to get them. I don't have to do any. I can just go to some website, click on some thing, and pay money, and it's done. But you're saying that didn't happen, and Katie's already gotten the gift. So you're ahead of me, and I'm upset about that.
Well, I don't know that they're not registered, but what I do know is that my girl is very, very in tune to this kind of thing. And I'm lucky because of that, because she'll go ahead and find something not only that's nice, but that really is that she put some thought into. Now, granted, right about now, I would be thinking, oh, God, we got to get a wedding gift. How much money should I stuff into this envelope?
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously, you know, not only do I appreciate not having to stuff the money in the envelope, but I appreciate it looking like, hey, we really, really care about you guys. Here's what we chose to do.
Well, you've fucked me because we could have all gotten together and did a combination thing.
Yeah, well, not now. We can't. But I didn't fuck you. She had already told me what we were getting them. And then I just said, wow, that's really awesome.
Well, I'm going to get them an Under Armour gift card. How much? Okay, can I ask how much you spent?
I swear I don't remember. I don't. I know I Venmoed her half of it, but I don't remember what it is.
I mean, is it like $100?
I don't think it is, but it was something that was like personal to them. But I don't think I spent $100 or what, she spent $100.
What is a reasonable amount to spend? $50 to $100?
Well, I mean, where we are in life, you know, at our age, yeah, $100 is that's the appropriate gift. You know, I remember the first wedding I ever went to, my friend Dow Kopex, God rest his soul. I got him one place set. He was registered. I'd never gotten a wedding gift before. And I went and I got him one place setting, knife, fork, spoon, fork, two forks, a knife, a spoon. And that's what I got him. Cause I think it probably cost, you know, $15 or whatever. And that's what I got him. And it was on there. Whoever bought the rest of them they didn't have to buy eight. They only had to buy seven.
Well,
but I worked at a shoe store at the time. Yeah. So that was the right amount of money to spend.
Well, Marcus, you've bought your share of wedding gifts in the day, I'm sure. What do I do here?
Well, I think you can get away with $100 now, but I think post Heart of the City, it's going to be $1 million minimum.
Yeah. November 6th. I mean, but they like alcohol, but I mean, that's probably slowed down because they have a baby.
If you're going to do something like that, you got to go with like a vintage liquor, you got to go maybe $100 to $150 and get something really kind of cool and unique. If you're going to go the alcohol route,
well, I can do that.
He can't do that now. It's too late.
I can do it. They have something nice at a liquor store, probably higher end liquor store.
Do you really know that? Like, I know you drink, but do you really know? Are you a student like Phil is?
Of course I'm not. But the thing is, that's a good gift for Phil. But I don't know if his wife is going to want that.
No, she'll want it. She likes to drink as much as he does.
But the same thing that he drinks.
Yeah, they both they love beer and they love bourbon.
Well, so I should get them beer and bourbon.
If you can find something you can't just get them beer and bourbon because they're snobs. Because they know. You can't just, what are you going to buy them, Jack Daniels? You have to find something that's worthy of this kind of event.
Is there a high-end liquor store here in Columbia that I can just get them a gift card to?
Yeah, there is. There's one over by Trader Joe's. I can't remember the name of it. Hold on. Hey, Katie. Hold on one second.
What is you go to the liquor store, and up near the counter, there will be a case, a locked case. And in there, you will find at least a couple of bourbons in wood boxes. Pick one. Doesn't matter. That'll be great.
Hold on one second. What's the name of that liquor store by Trader Joe's?
The Perfect Pour.
The Perfect Pour.
Okay.
It's near their house, and it's high end.
All right, Perfect Pour. You know what? I'm gonna do something with the Perfect Pour. Thank you. Sorry, I hope you don't hear this, Phil. He says, I hate that place. So that's our week. Anything else, Joseph?
No, that's all I got. Let's get out of here.
All right. We will be back next week with Robbie in tow. Later.
Later.
Thanks, Marcus.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.